looking at. What are you looking at? What are you looking at? Do you know that throughout the day we have over 500,000 thoughts? Over 500,000 thoughts. No wonder you're tired at the end of the day, right? That's a lot of thinking. And most of our thinking is visual thinking. We see things in our mind's eye. And many of us see what? The future? Does it look dark to you? Do you see it at all? Many of us see the past, right? That's sometimes pretty dark. And some of us see right here, right now, the blessings that are around us, right? Past, present, future. On any given moment of any day, you can raise your spirits or lower them by what you're looking at. Right? Is that not profound this morning? So if you want to live a more fulfilled, spirit-filled, happier, productive, awesome, blessed life, what should you be looking at? The blessings, God, all the things that God gives us that are free to us as well, right? Many of the blessings we receive from God, we don't even have to pay for, right? Sun came up this morning, beautiful as it was, free of charge, a blessing. Sitting down and just relaxing sometimes and being at peace and maybe having your little pet in your lap, you know, your kitty cat or your puppy dog or your partner, whatever the case might be, and you're sitting there and you're enjoying that quality time together, right? Being around friends and loved ones in that moment. Blessings that are priceless. Don't cost a thing. Isn't that good to know? Are we rich? Yes, we are. We're rich and full of blessings. Depending on what you're looking at. What you're looking at. Because if you compare your pet to another pet, right? Somebody else's kitty cat or puppy dog. If you compare and say, well, mine's a little growly. And yours is so fluffy and cute.
Good morning. This is Pastor Joyce from Christ the Cornerstone Church. I welcome you to our 10 a.m. worship service. I hope that you find it uplifting, inspirational, and a blessing to you. Our service will start in just a few minutes. And again, thank you for joining Christ the Cornerstone Church Sunday morning worship. God bless you.
All the people in our lives, the pets that we have, and all the things that are quirky about all of us, those are blessings. Those are gifts in disguise. And some of us want out of our circumstances sometimes, right? Or sometimes we're looking at circumstances in our life that we don't want to be there, right? Some things that we have absolutely no control over very often, and we want out of it, don't we? Of course we do. And if we can't get out of it, what do we have to do? Look at God in it. Be with God in it, so you're never alone in that process. So you're still looking to God for answers, for help, for support, for comfort, for whatever we need to blanket us and support us. And no matter what we're going through, we can get through it, can't we? When we're looking at God and God's power and love and mercy and grace and all those things that and characteristics that we call our God. So it's a question of what you're looking at. Who's in control of that? Wow, so you really were given one of those clickers. You know? Anybody here that, you know, you have, I guess I call them clickers. I guess, what I don't know the new terminology for it now. It's a fancier word, I suppose, you know, for now we can slide through things, right? Easy, you know, touch screen, just move it aside, click, you know, you can scroll if you want, right? If you don't like what you're seeing on Facebook posts, right? You keep on going, right? You just keep on scrolling. You don't like that, you don't look at it, do you? So you have the power. You have the power to determine what you are going to look at. But our human nature isn't always that way, is it? Where do most of us spend a good bulk of our time, to be honest? Either in the past, looking at the negative there, or in the future, looking at the negative there. Sometimes, right? Say again? Confusion of the day. What's the confusion of the day? And see, here's the thing. I believe that God wants to help us through our circumstances and very often is even leading us out of them. But we don't always go, do we? because we're looking at, well, what's that going to mean if I change? Anybody here ever left their comfort zone? A few of you. Okay. Good proportion here. I like to hear that. That's good. Because where are we most safe? In our comfort zone. What we're used to. The way things have been. The way they have always been. The way they will always be. We like it there. It's comfortable. Thus, comfort zone. But where is happiness and wholeness and growth? Outside of that comfort zone, right? Somewhere bigger and greater. So in order to move forward, spiritually speaking, throughout our life, we have to look towards the future and know that that's outside of our comfort zone. And it's okay to go there. Why? Because God is there too. He's the God of the past, the present, and the future, right? All right, so you ready to go forward? Are you ready to look forward with hope, anticipation? Yes? All right, beautiful. Let's go to the scriptures this morning. Let's go through a scenario where this comes from and why sometimes it can be difficult, even when God is trying to help us move forward, that we sometimes can vacillate and stay a little on the stuck side in terms of looking at things the way we used to look at things and keep looking at them that way. So in Genesis chapter 19, this is a familiar story to most of you, I suppose. It's a story of Sodom and Gomorrah. We know that story. Now, we know that God was going to destroy the city because it was evil to people that were living there. We know that the book of Ezekiel tells the reason why God was going to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah, because they were so pent up with themselves and cared only for themselves, and the poor cried outside of the city and no one would help them. And the rich and the opulent would have nothing to do with helping them. So God saw that they would not help, so therefore God said, I'm going to destroy their riches. All the things that they think are so important, I'm going to get rid of those. I'm going to get rid of that city. That's what God was deciding. But inside the city was Abraham's nephew by the name of Lot. And so Abraham, we know Abraham from the Old Testament, one of God's chosen people that God told was going to multiply upon the earth, right? All of the descendants would be, you couldn't even count them, as many as the stars would be. That was Abraham's future. So that also meant that was Lot's future. So Lot's future, Abraham's future, and guess who else's future? Our future, because we are sons and daughters of Abraham in the lineage, spiritually speaking. All of us are sons and daughters of God, and therefore we are going to be countless like the stars in terms of our possibilities, in terms of where we can go spiritually speaking and how we can grow. Awesome, right? That's our future. You getting that? Okay, one person in the back. Beautiful. Okay. All right, that's good. That's great. If it's only one, that's okay with me. So God sends angels to tell Lot and his family to leave Sodom and Gomorrah. Anybody here ever feel like they're in pain, in a place in their life where they're stuck and they're like in a rut, you know, can't get out, just feeling as though they just are in the same place they've always been, or maybe they're in a new place that just feels like it's just awful and dark and you just can't get out. Anybody ever felt that way? Well, all of us have, right, at one time or another. Some of us feel that way now. It's as though we're stuck right here, and the pain only gets worse and increases. And we want what? Out. But you know what can sometimes happen? Pain can become comfortable if we're not careful. We get used to it. So God has to turn up the pain sometimes to get us to do what? Move. Get out of that situation. Get out of your comfort zone to somewhere greater, right? And so we know that God was going to take fire and brimstone, which is pretty hot, and God was going to turn up the heat on those people, right, and say, time to move. I don't know about you, but when I was little, when they turned on the stove, we had a gas stove when I was a kid, and if you touched the flame, you know what happened? Ow! Now, I don't know about you, but I wasn't the type of person, except for when I wanted to roast marshmallows on that gas, I wasn't the type of person to put my finger back in there and hold it there for a long time. I mean, doesn't God give us instinct to go, that's hot, that's bad, that's hurtful, that's painful, I need to do what? Remove myself from it. Instinct. And yet some of us, emotionally speaking, we stay in situations, relationships, or life circumstances where we think this is as good as it's going to get, and so we get used to the pain. You know, we put a little bandage on it. We put spray a little hot spray on it to cool it down. We put some ice on it, and then we put our finger right back in. Now, that sounds absurd, doesn't it? You would never do such a thing, would you? Of course. Of course. Nah. I have to tell that to my chocolate tomorrow. So anyway, here's what happens. The angels go to Lot to say to him and his family, you've got to get out of Sodom and Gomorrah. God's going to destroy the city. It's going to get really hot, and it's going to be terrible here. You need to get out. So that's Genesis 19, beginning at verse 12. And they ask the question, do you have any other relatives here in the city? The angels ask. Get them out of this place. Sons-in-laws, sons, daughters, anyone else you know, get them out of here. See, very often I see myself sometimes as a get you out of here kind of pastor. If you're in a mess, I want to do what? Get you out of there. Problem solve it. Get you moving forward, right? I'm not saying you can't have pain, you can't have sorrow, but I don't want you to stay in there, right? Ow. Turn off the burner. For we will destroy the city completely. The stench of this place has reached the Lord, and he has sent us to destroy it. See, sometimes God has to also help us by destroying the things in our life that aren't good for us. Isn't that good to know? When you won't do it for you, he'll smash some things up for you. I like that part of God. I like that. I do. I really do. Takes people out of your life that really don't belong. Takes things out of your life that have no purpose to you. Things that only cause you pain and harm. God goes, I'm removing that. And at the time, you might not be so happy about that, right? But it's a blessing in disguise. Moving along. So Lot rushed out to tell his daughter's fiancés, quick, get out of the city. The Lord is going to destroy it. But the young men thought he was only joking. Right. Sometimes somebody says something to you, hey, we need to do this, you need to change that, whatever the case might be, and you kind of justify, oh, that's a bunch of malarkey. That might work for them, but it's not going to work for me. You think they're only joking. I don't know about you, I don't know how that much about Lot to know whether or not he was that kind of a prankster. Anyway, so they ignore him. That's one of the things we can sometimes do personally as well. Warning signs come to us, red flags. Anybody here ever have a red flag in a relationship of any kind or a situation, a job? And how many of you saw the red flag and then you went ahead anyway? How many of you continue to go through stop signs all the time and red lights? One person. Stay off the road and not away from her. But what happens if you go through that red light or that stop sign or that red flag? Smash city, right? That's the purpose of them, right? How many of you from this moment forward are going to pay attention to red flags and do what? How about you stop? How about you go, whoa. Red flag, that means stop. I don't proceed with this job, this relationship, this situation. I stop right where I am. Halt. Not moving forward. Very nice. So you're learning. At dawn the next morning, the angels became insistent. See, here's the thing about God. God's a little pesky. God can get a little bit, you know, bugging you and me. God wants us to change and grow and wants to move us out of a bad place, a bad situation that may be in, or a situation that isn't good for us and that may be harmful and hurtful and painful. God is trying to insist and saying, okay, let's go, let's move. Time to move out of this. You got to get out of this situation. You got to change, right? It becomes insistent. This is what the angels do. So, you know, the good thing about God is God isn't going to leave you stuck where you are. Isn't that good to know? Now, we may have the push, pull, or drag kind of ministry that sometimes has to happen, like in Lot's case, right? But God continues to come to you and nudge you and push you ever so gently to push you along forward. So that you can be changed and grow and get out of your comfort zone. Hurry, they said. Take your wife and your daughters who are here. Get out of here right now or you will get caught in the destruction of the city. So listen, if you're in a situation in your life right now, whoever you are, if you know you are in pain in a situation, what is God saying to you? Get out of here. Next week, next year, 5 years from now, when you feel like it, what is the terminology God uses through the angels? Right now. Now. So if you want to change, when does it begin? Now. When you have to move out of a situation that is painful to you, when do you move out of it? Now. When do you quit that bad thing that you've been doing that's causing you harm, or that situation that you might find you in, or habit that you have that you keep on doing and keep on doing it and keep looking at all the negatives and looking back at the past and all those things we already talked about earlier? When do you start looking forward to God? Now. Because if you don't, what happens? Destruction. Right? God doesn't want us destroyed. God wants us to a better place. All right, beautiful. Moving along. When Lot still hesitated, oh man. Anybody is here as stubborn as Lot by chance? Oh, they're pointing at other people. One person's raising their hand, and other people are pointing at other people that they're with, and some people are pointing at me. What is the big idea with that? Okay. Huh. So, stubborn ones. Here's what's going to happen if you're not careful with God. Watch what's going to happen, because God sent angels to help you get out of your situation. That's why we're here this morning. When Lot still hesitated, the angel seized his hand and his hands of his wife and two daughters and rushed them out into safety. Guess what's going to happen? Somebody's going to come rushing in and grab you by the hand and pull you out of that situation. Come on out with me. Yeah. All right, I got one. Beautiful. Now, I didn't just pick on a small person. All right, who else is back here? Don't pull that one. Thank you. I love props. All right. Hopefully I didn't hurt anything, right? Oh, good, good. Woo! Listen what they did. They rushed them to safety outside the city, outside of their comfort zone. They rushed them out. They wouldn't move for themselves. So God had to use angels to move them out. He wanted to save them because, listen, although it might have hurt pulling that person up here. Hurt me more than it hurt you. I want you to know that. Now, staying there would have been destruction. It would have been worse. The pain would have been worse. It would have been over for them, right? You see why God sometimes steps into your life and wants to pull you out of a situation, right? And sometimes it takes an outside force to be helpful to that. We call it prayer here at church. We do. It's a little more gentle. And you voluntarily move. Most of the time. And every once in a while, we come to you, right? That's what we're here to minister, right? Right? Because we want you out of that place of destruction into a place of safety, wholeness, peace, love, right? That's where God wants you. Beautiful. Run for your lives, the angel warned. Do not stop anywhere in the valley, and don't look back. See, here is the whole problem sometimes. We get out of a situation, right? And if we're not careful, we're going to do what? Remember what was back there. Some of it was pretty good. Sometimes, right? In the short interim of it, right? Right? Those temporary moments, maybe, where we had, you know, enjoyment of some type that we thought, right? You're hearing what I'm saying? Those of you that know what I'm talking about, right? Whatever it was. Or the way you thought about yourself. Because you don't know who you're going to be here, right? You think, well, I know that person. I'm used to being them. What happens now? What do I do now when I don't go to those same places anymore and hang out with those same people anymore? What's my life going to be like? Are you safe? If you understand you're moving towards safety and away from pain, which one are you going to choose? This side of the room chooses safety. Okay, good. All right, but I'm increasing my numbers. I went from one to a side of a room, so I'm increasing. This is good. Some of you are thinking inside yourself. I know that. Escape to the mountains or you will die. Escape to the mountains. What's a mountain? In the literal sense, is it, I'm just going to tell you this way. It's higher than you, right? It's above you, right? It's an onward, upward kind of place, isn't it? Right? See, they're in a valley. Where does God want us all? Up on the mountain. A higher place, spiritually speaking, moving upward and onward, right? That's where God wants us all to be, up, moving higher, climbing. Now, it's going to take some energy, isn't it? Any of you ever climbed a mountain in Georgia or South Carolina, right? Oh, man, I don't know about you, but I know when I'm not in good shape. I'm like, where's the gondola thing that you can sit in and... I made it up 17 steps and I got to keep going. This is good. This is a good view from here. I like the side of a mountain. It looks pretty good. Yeah. How many of us stop short, right? We get tired. We go so far and we stop and we think this too hard, right? Well, God wants us to do what? Keep moving up. What's on top of that mountain? What do you, if you've ever been on top of a mountain, you get there and you see the vista, right? You look out all out there, anywhere you can be. You could be looking at an ocean. You could be looking at lakes. You could be looking at trees. You can look down into a valley. What do you see? Beauty, right? That you would never see looking at the side of the mountain. Right? Life is better at the top, is it not? I believe so. I believe so. I believe so. So that's why, see, listen, the angels didn't want to just save him from that ugly place called Sodom and Gomorrah, the place of destruction, the place of evilness, the place of badness, the place of pain. God wanted not to just get him out of there and say, okay, well, just as long as you're outside of the city, hang out. You're safe from the city, so now you're out, you know, you're out a few miles and you're all good. No, God said, go to the mountains. Go higher. Look forward. Look higher. Go beyond where you are. Stop settling for less. When you move out of pain, you move towards awesome pleasure, right? Yes, yes. That's what God wants. And here's what Lot does. Lot has some issues, I must admit. Oh, no, Lords, please. You have been so kind and saved my life. You've granted me such mercy, but I cannot go to the mountains. This is good enough for me. I know God promised my ancestor all these wonderful, awesome things, and I know God just saved me out of a terrible mess, but you know what? That's as good as it's going to get. Disaster would catch up for me there. What? He thinks the Sodom and Gomorrah fire is going to follow him there. Anybody moved out of a place and you think, oh my God, things are good now? Things are great now. Things are too good. Oh no, something bad's about to happen. I just know it. When is the next shoe going to drop? That's all I've ever known. What am I looking at? What are you looking at when you think those thoughts? What was Lot thinking about in his future? The past, the bad past. What does he think of his future? Bad. Right? What's he looking at? How hard things are going to be, how bad it is, how awful it is, right? And he keeps thinking that his past is going to equal his future, right? Poor man. Poor man. I would soon die. What? Wait a minute. Okay, let's get this straight here. I wish I did some counseling with this guy. So you just got out of a really terrible situation where the city was going to be destroyed. God sent angels to save you, brought you out of that, told you to go somewhere greater and better, and you say to that person, God, I can't go to that better place because if I get there, I'm going to die. God saved my life over here. God's going to kill me over there. Because God is just like a bad joke kind of God. He wants to pull the rug out from under you and say, oh, I see all that good I've done for you. Let me take it away from you. What? Poor Lot. Poor Lot. So first Lot was worried about the future, right? He hesitated. And he aimed very low. He thought that's as good as he could get. Because he was afraid of something in the future. Because he didn't know what the future was going to hold. How many of you know what the future is going to hold? Please tell me, anybody here. Nobody knows, but what is the future that God promises us? Good, better, higher, right. All right, the angel said, I'll grant your request. You know what? Here's the thing about the problem with us having free will. God says, okay, fine. You can stay right where you are, Mr. Lot. If you don't want to go up the mountain, fine. You can go to that little town that you request to go to. I will not destroy that little village called Zoar. And actually, the word actually meant small. So Lot bargained with the angels, not to go up into the mountain to something great, but to go to a little town called Zoar, which was small. God lets us accept our own limitations if we're not careful. Because that was a new comfort zone, right? He went from being saved to somewhere a little better. Because he didn't feel as though he deserved or could have greater. Because he was looking at the negative possibility, right? He was looking at the bad that could happen in the future. He would die there. Is that a true statement? No. But hurry, for I can do nothing until you are there. From that time on, the village was known as Zoar, which means small. The sun was rising as Lot reached the village, and the Lord rained down fire and burning sulfur from the heavens on Sodom and Gomorrah. He utterly destroyed them, along with the other cities, villages of the plain, eliminating all life. But Lot's wife looked back as she was following along behind Lot. Ruh-roh. And she became a pillar of salt. We told the story all about Lot, but we forgot about the wife. Lot's wife. We don't even know her name. She's walking behind him. Following behind. Rather than Lot having her by the hand and taking her forward, she's following behind. Maybe she had a hold of his hand, and maybe, just maybe, she was like, you go ahead, Lot. I'm going to just kind of hang back here. You walk faster than me. You go ahead. And then she's really thinking, what? I want that back there. She looked back at the past. That's where she got stuck. There's literally salt in the same exact place in the Middle East. To this day, they call it the place of Lot's wife. Stuck in the past. So I don't know who I feel more sorry for, Lot or his wife. Now the question is, where do you fit into the story? Because we've already taught you a great number of lessons this morning, right? God wants to move you away from pain, away from the past. You can't live there anymore. You can't go there anymore. You can't look there anymore. In the present, God wants to save you from the place you were in and bring you to where? Somewhere higher and greater, right? And what do you have to do? Go to the mountain. There we go. We've got someone going. Yahoo! Awesome. Pretty soon the sermon can come to an end. Oh, verse 30. I just want to throw this in before I go to my final point I'm making. Afterward, Lot left Zoar because he was afraid of the people there, and he went to live in a cave. In the mountains. goes into a cave. That was the end of Lot's story, and it gets worse after that. Wow. See what happens when you settle for less? See what happens when you're not willing to move out of your comfort zone? And when we pull you out of your comfort zone, many of you get pulled out of your comfort zone when you come to this church. We're not about leaving you. You know, it's all great and fine. We want you to be believers in Jesus Christ, and you start there, but you're not going to stay there. And God's going to help change and grow you. That's the reason we're the Church of Spiritual Enrichment and Growth, because we want to move you out of the places of pain, out of the places of sorrow, out of the places of destruction, to a place of higher ground, moving you forward. Right? Okay. Thus, in Philippians 3, is great, awesome advice. The scripture can be your life scripture from this point forward if you choose. Paul does this, and he speaks to the Philippian church and people. And he's talking about becoming like Christ, because that's really the mountain we're climbing, spiritually speaking. But as we get closer and follow Christ more and more, we become more and more powerful. We become more and more where our eyes are looking ahead and looking up and looking out at what great things God has in store for us and what we can do for others. And not only that, we're looking back to see who's behind us, and we're pulling them up the mountain too, right? That's what churches really are. We're mountain puller upper people. Okay, so Philippians 3:12. I don't mean to say that I've already achieved these things being like Christ, or that I've already reached perfection. We all know we're not perfect, right? None of us are perfect yet. But we're doing what? Looking forward, looking up, moving forward. When we get in pain or in a situation that's not good for us, we do what? Get out of it. When God sends someone to help us get out, we go out, right? We hesitate, we get pulled out, and you keep moving forward. And we never look very nice. But I am working toward that day. I'm keep working toward that day when I will finally be all that Christ Jesus saved me for and wants me to be. See, not only did God save Lot and his family from destruction, Jesus Christ saved us from eternal destruction. Did he not? And he came to give us life, and give us life in abundance and in fullness and in every good thing. That's what Jesus came to give us. And he died so we could have that. He erased our past on the cross. It doesn't exist anymore. He forgives and forgets our sins, right? You've been set free. You've been saved from destruction. And now what are you going to do? Move forward. Let the past go. Leave it behind. You've been saved for greatness and for something greater than you can even dream or imagine, right? And we become more and more like Christ in that process, right? Of goodness. So here's what Paul gives as advice, and I want to pass on. No, dear brothers and sisters, I'm not still all I should be. None of us are, but that's fine. But I am focusing all my energies on this one thing. See, wouldn't it be cool if you could look at only one thing a day? Focus your energy on one thing. We could pretty much, you know, do that, right? Right? We could accomplish that, right? On this one thing. Forgetting the past. And looking forward to what lies ahead. It's kind of two things, but see, you can't look at two things at once. Did you know that? Look to the left. And look at the right. Look in the middle. Like rise across. Yeah! So if you forget your past, right, what are you looking at? Only the future. Only what lies ahead. Only what's ahead of you, not what's behind you. I strain to reach the end of the race. I strain. It's going to take some energy. It's going to take some work. It's going to take some time. But you're going to keep moving forward and receive the prize for which God, through Jesus Christ, is calling us up to heaven. We reach forward for that. Whatever that greatness is for us, and eventually it's that place called heaven. And we take everything we take with us of all the accomplishments, of all the lives saved, of all the people we've touched, of all the love we've given, that comes with us. That's our baggage into heaven. You're not going to get to bring your negative baggage to heaven. they don't have any there. There's a chute. You know, remember those laundry chutes? I used to live in an apartment on the fifth floor in Rhode Island, and you used to put your laundry down the chute. It disappeared. It ended up in a basket somewhere. I do understand that. However, the same thing is true about your sins. They went down a chute. Gone. So did your past. It's gone. The only thing you're to focus on is what? The future. The future. And God has a great future for you. Yes. But it's on a mountain. And it's not in your comfort zone. So to illustrate this, I need three people to help me. Maybe four. Come on. Beautiful, you stay. Go ahead, one, two. I need three. Go ahead. Oh, beautiful, beautiful. Thank you, thank you, thank you. I need two back here, please. There we go. All right, beautiful. Hold that there, please. Beautiful, beautiful. Thank you there. That's the finish line. Like the finish line? Okay. So, I'm going to give some little bit of instruction just to illustrate this so everybody gets the message and gets the point today. So, it kind of goes like this. You're going to be fear. Okay? So I want you to stay stuck. You are worried. So I want you to look around and look around and keep looking around and keep looking around. Okay. And you are faith. You're going to move forward. Okay? And you, all you're going to do is follow him. Okay? So there's a finish line. Well, wait a minute. Well, oh no. Wait a minute. You got to look back. Because we have to have a past, don't we? Don't we have to have a past? Doesn't our past have to go with us? You sure we don't need a past? Because what would happen to the past? Would it go forward? So you stay stuck. You twirl around. He goes and I go. So are you ready? You got the point here? On your mark. Get set. Go. Now, I can't let go of my past, so I'm back here. And I'm looking at it. Can I see the finish line? Where am I going? Nowhere. Fear? Where did fear go? How about worry? Just kind of spun around. Are you dizzy? Yeah, you are. A little twirl twirl here. Can you now see in a visual sense what worry, fear, and constantly looking at your past does for you or does against you? And what faith does and what looking forward does? Oh, you made it to the finish line. I didn't get to see because I was too busy looking at my past. Did I hear something profound? Please share. On up the mountain, not all, right through the finish line, up the mountain, on the other side, looking at the beauty, and bam-o. Awesome. Do you notice how faith, when you follow faith, it gets you there? Right? Neither one of them had to go alone. Faith goes ahead of us. Faith in God always is in front of us, leading us. The shepherd's always guiding us, right? So for all of you, you have a choice today. To put this sermon into your own personal life. Now, some of you, if you want to stay here and look at your past, you could look at that wall for the rest of your life if you'd like to. Or if you want to just stay by the side of the mountain and look at the side of the mountain, stay as far as that is, that's okay. You're perfectly welcome to do so. But if you really want to live your life to the fullest and do what God is asking and calling you to do and be, follow faith. Keep your eyes on faith and who God is. And keep moving forward. Amen. Amen.